Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, City F fan. Hollywood couldn't have scripted it better. As the relegation candidates do battle, the title hopefuls head into the final stretch neck and neck. But who is the villain? Lotito, De Laurentiis, or Dr. Evil's Invescor? We'll discuss all that and the rest of the action in this episode of Scudetto. Hello and welcome back to the show. We're back with you after an extended break due to family holidays, major home refurbishments, and a bit of post-World Cup playoff depression, it must be said. Serie A is seriously into the business end of the season now, with a title challenge raging on and the relegation battle also far from over. We'll get into all of that in due course, but first of all, Boaz, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Kenny. It's great to be back talking to you, and I feel a bit refreshed as I've visited Italy in the past couple of weeks and got to enjoy the beautiful country and the great food, of course.
Lovely. I am very, very jealous of you. And have you got a beer this evening?
Yeah, I'm drinking just a punk IPA, keeping it pretty real.
Nice. I've got a beer that I've saved for this occasion, actually. It was brewed by BrewDog. And it's a United for Ukraine beer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's one of their beers that they brewed so they could send 100% of the revenues for humanitarian causes for the people of Ukraine. And it's actually also a very good beer. So I think it was a crate of 12. I got it a couple of weeks ago, and I had to save the last one and kind of eye it in the fridge for a few days.
Considering we've postponed the day of recording of this podcast by a week, that beer is probably shouting out to you for a long time.
Very disciplined performance from myself, I must say. Right, Boaz, we've got so much to get through, and most of it's just from this week. So let's get straight to that title race, I reckon. And we'll start with Milan, who, as we record, still sit top of the table by 2 points. Obviously, Inter have that game in hand still. Milan, off the back of that dramatic game against Lazio at the Olimpico, and it did look like Lazio were going to seriously put a dent in the Rossoneri's title aspirations, going 1-0 up and then looking like they were going to see the game out for a point after Milan had equalised. But Boaz, a dramatic winner at the end from Tonali. It really was a great game, really, really enjoyable. I mean, did you enjoy it? Were you able to enjoy it? And can I just ask you, how outstanding was Sandro Tonali? He's really become the heartbeat of the title push, hasn't he?
So first of all, to answer your first question, was I able to enjoy it? I hated every moment of it until the 92nd minute.
I expected nothing less.
And even at that point, I wasn't sure if the goal was going to be allowed, if Lazio might just pip Milan and get one more goal towards the end. So basically, I was a nervous wreck for the entire 90 minutes, plus any added time. Not a great evening for me, I have to say. But moving swiftly to Sandro Tonali, his contribution to the title push, particularly in the last few games, has been remarkable. And considering the fact that he was a slight disappointment last year for some, I thought he did pretty all right. But he's come along leaps and bounds this year, and he's really been the face of this Milan team. And such a young player, so much potential. Sad that we won't see him at the World Cup.
Yet. We won't see him at the World Cup yet. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I have to say, I really enjoyed his post-match comments as well, where he was saying, you know, we've been up at the top for all this time and people keep telling us that we're not the best team and that we're not gonna win it, but we're still there. And I don't know, it was kind of reminiscent. I know he said when he signed for Milan that he kind of viewed himself more as a Gattuso type player, and that's who he was wanting to emulate rather than Pirlo, who he had attracted a lot of comparisons with. But yeah, I mean, I think we really kind of are seeing that, and you know, he's kind of proving as important to Milan, or emerging to look as though he could be as important to Milan as Gattuso was.
Despite his young age, he's already a great influence in the changing room, which can't be ignored. I think we should probably spend a few words on the likes of Giroud and Leao, who were also very, very good in this game, and
yeah,
in general have also been better than I expected, at least. I didn't know what to expect from Giroud this season, but he's come up with some really important goals throughout the season, and it looks like he's gelled really well with the rest of the team, which is always nice, and his Italian's great. Specifically for Leao, I'm still waiting for him to make that definitive explosion, but I feel that part of the fact that he fades in and out of games is because sometimes there isn't another creative player such as him on the pitch, so when teams double up on him, he kind of, as I said, wanders out of the game. But against Lazio, he was a real joy to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's really sort of beginning. We're starting to see the kind of player that he's going to become, aren't we? Hopefully that progression continues. But I also wanted to have a special mention for Pioli going flying in his arse as well in the goal celebrations, which that was a wonderful moment.
Against his former team as well. So you would have thought that he might show some restraint, but
no. Nope. Not at all. Right. I mean, Milan certainly have the tougher run-in of the two remaining challengers to the Scudetto, I'd say. I'd argue, actually, though, that Milan seem to get the better results or the better performances, at least when they're up against the big guns. How do you feel about the last four games? Does the fact that there's not really any classic, or that there aren't as many classic banana skins there for Milan? I mean, they're games that they could realistically, you know, be expected to drop points in. Do you kind of see that as potentially like a sort of a hidden encouragement that Milan do seem to really get up for these games?
I think perhaps looking at the calendar, as you said, the Milan run-in is slightly harder, and particularly the match against Atalanta is one that I've penciled in, although we'll get onto it later. But Atalanta today are not the same Atalanta we saw this time last year. But at the same time, conceivably, I could see both Milan and Inter winning all their remaining games. So it wouldn't be enough for Milan, but I think that ultimately they can only do the best that they can do and hope that Inter slip up somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it would be quite something if they did all win all of their remaining games. If we just looking at the points total, it looks like they average just over a couple of points per game. So that would indicate that with four or five games left, depending on which team you're talking about, there are points there to be dropped. It'd be interesting to see. We should move on to Inter, but before we do that, we kind of have to talk about this Investcorp takeover, which reportedly could go through in a matter of days. Despite what I think was a lot of skepticism at the beginning, the Elliott ownership appears to have gone almost exactly, possibly even better than planned. Buzz, your thoughts on this deal as a Milan fan? Is this the dawn of a new era?
First of all, apparently we are unable to clear the sample of Dr. Evil from Austin Powers saying $1 million. but I have to say that Investcorp sounds awfully like a copy-paste name. What do we do? We invest. What are we, a corporation? Investcorp. But that being said, with the very generic name, it is a exciting dawn of a new era for Milan fans, at least, and potentially for the entire league. But it's nice to see that one of these huge funds is investing in Italy rather than in England.
Yeah.
For a change.
Yeah, or Paris. Right. I mean, let's talk about Inter, who are firing on all cylinders, it would appear. Really hugely impressive performance against Roma, who, has to be said, were pretty much the most informed team in the league coming into this. I mean, they do. I know that you're a Milan fan, so you don't want to hear this from me, but they do look like Scudetto winners in the waiting, wouldn't you say, Boaz?
We need to go back to a few games, to the match against Juventus, where Inter were really on quite a bad run, and it looked like the title might slip away from them. But instead, they somehow won a game that probably they didn't play too well in, and it probably one of the better games in Allegri's current tenure at Juventus. And since then, it's a completely different team on the pitch. They're playing very fluid football. They seem to be getting goals quite easily, and it's been a really good run for them. They do have two more matches than Milan do, which could contribute to some fixture congestion. But as I said, they could conceivably win all of the games. And what struck me is that it's been a relatively un-Inter-esque season, in the sense that Inter used to love to call themselves Pazza Inter and be kind of the loony club in Italy. But it's even the new signings, they've gelled in well. The manager is getting along with everyone. I mean, there's very few places where you could say Inter haven't handled themselves well. And I'm sure there's also an element of Schadenfreude with Lukaku having a particularly dull season in London, and Hakimi kind of being booed off the pitch, and the fans not celebrating with PSG when they won the league. So Inter, whatever happens at the end of the season, I think they've had a fantastic season, and credit has to go to Inzaghi.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think credit also has to go to the midfield. I was reading a stat, I think it was in the Gazzetta, that was just showing the number of goals that Inter's midfield have been involved in this season. And it's quite astonishing. It's basically double the number that any of the teams around them have posted. So I think if they do win the league this year, it will be in no small part down to that trio, Brozovic, Barella, and unfortunately Boaz Cialanoglu as well. I know you don't like to hear it, but
I mean, I think if you look at out of three of those names, those are some of the best midfielders in Serie A and potentially some of the best midfielders in Europe. And besides the fact that they wear the wrong shirt in Milan, for me personally, Brozovic and Barella are joy to watch. I still have a lot of reservations about Hakan, and I have to say that I've always had reservations about him, even when he was a Milan player. He's very hot and cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, his contribution this year has been also pretty good.
Yeah.
And also, I should say, he's also seems to be have a penchant for scaring Dumfries out of his skin every, on a weekly basis when they're when they're bunking together. So seems like that's actually quite funny.
Yeah, you mentioned there about Inter having two more games to play than Milan. They seem to have had that game in hand in Serie A for ages, but finally Inter traveled to Bologna on Wednesday night, which is the day after we're recording. Arguably, Bologna are in the same boat as Inter heading into this after a game at the weekend. You might think the trickier test probably for Inter will come Udinese at the weekend, given that Udinese will have fresher legs with the full week off. But Bologna are pretty unpredictable. I mean, I don't know. They've picked up some results where you don't expect them and then picked up some absolutely awful results elsewhere. Are you expecting a comfortable Inter win in this, or is there a potential surprise in the offing?
Bologna did hold Milan to a draw at San Siro, so anything can happen in Serie A. But as I've said a couple of times, and probably I'm maybe trying to employ a Scudetto curse a little bit, but I do feel that Inter should win this one. That being said, Medel is back. He was supposed to be banned for two matches, and they managed to appeal one of those matches. So at least they'll have an enforcer in the midfield. But if you look at the Inter's quality across the pitch, I think they should win this comfortably.
Yeah, they should do. And you spoke about Milan and Inter both potentially winning every single game left. And we also spoke about Milan having, arguably the tougher run. But I do still think there are a couple of tricky games for them. I mean, Udinese coming up at the weekend. Udinese have taken points off of Milan in both games this season. They've taken points off of Lazio in both games. They've taken points off of Roma. And they've also got to play Cagliari after, you know, just days after that Coppa Italia final. I'm not completely convinced that Inter are home and dried. Do you seriously think they go on to take full points from these five remaining games? How realistic is that?
I think if you look at the team's budget at the beginning of the season, you would say that Inter are the supposed champions elect, whereas Milan have the fifth highest budget, so they shouldn't even be in the Champions League spot technically. But yeah. Football is a funny old game, and I wouldn't compare Milan to Leicester City because I think the caliber of club is very different. But at the same time, after more than 10 years without a Scudetto, this would feel like a true strong or true achievement.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely would. We have to move on. We have to speak about Napoli this week. We simply have to. Let's start off with the collapse against Empoli, which kind of seems to have kicked off this chain of events. They were 2-0 up against Empoli with 10 minutes left and managed to conspire to lose the game 3-2. They've got 1 point in three games. Where's it all gone wrong for Napoli?
I've been saying all along that Napoli would fall off at some point, and of course, it's happened a lot later than I predicted it would. But ultimately, I didn't buy the story that Napoli's squad was as good as Inter's or was one of the best in the league. I think they're still lacking some key players in key areas, particularly left back. That being said, I think it's just this particular game against Empoli was probably a blip. I think you can't really attribute it to anything else. Maybe Spalletti's subs were a little bit dubious, but to concede three goals against a team that hadn't won since November, I believe, is it's just one of those things that happens. That being said, the whole spirit of the camp feels like it's slightly dropped. And when you have to look at the past three or four managers at Napoli, and the results are just pretty much more or less the same. So maybe the manager is not the problem, and the problem is the players or even the president who switches managers every couple of seasons.
Yeah, and I mean, you alluded to it there, the rumors of Spalletti potentially being sacked, which is just complete madness, if you ask me, given where the club was when he took over and given, you know, what, you know, the position that Spalletti got them into, how quickly he transformed what was realistically, you know, pretty much the same group of players that
exactly
were there. So it seems complete madness to me, and more Aurelio De Laurentiis madness, if you ask me, is this imposition of a ritiro on the club. A lot of people have said basically he's treating the players as if they were like naughty teenagers. I mean, saying that they're good to go into this training camp until the end of the season, which I don't see what it's meant to achieve, if I'm honest. It's I mean, they're not going to win the league. They certainly don't look like they're going to miss out on Champions League. Just a complete shambles. And I don't know how you feel about this, Buzz, but I think you have to feel sorry for Insigne, who's going to end his illustrious time at the club essentially in some sort of a prison camp.
So first of all, I want to dust off one of my Scudetto catchphrases and say that Spalletti is an absolute weirdo, and by all accounts. And and so he's
like a lovable weirdo, though.
Yeah, yeah. But he's a strange person to interact with, apparently, for players. At the same time, as you've said, the work he's done with a group of players who ultimately are more or less the same players that even Ancelotti had, this has been amazing. And just to achieve Champions League success would be more than Gattuso achieved last year. So I think Spalletti definitely deserves another year. And maybe with the right personnel and, again, a left back, they might be able to push Milan, Inter, or next year, hopefully, for Italia, for Serie A, Juventus to the title race.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about weirdos and talking about Juventus, Juve keep doing Allegri things. Most recently, of course, grabbing that late winner last night after having been, in my opinion, outplayed by Sassuolo, who had pretty much, I think they had twice as many shots. They had more shots on target. They had more possession. And I was looking at InfoGoal earlier, and Sassuolo had double the XG. But I think you've got to hand it to Allegri. we complain about him a lot just because as a neutral, it's really, really boring as hell football to watch. And it might be tough to watch, but given that we had them down as possibly not even making the Champions League a couple of months back, and of course we can attribute that as well to Atalanta's complete collapse, that they find themselves where they do. But what do you make of the fact that they're now sitting so comfortably in fourth?
Until the match we mentioned earlier against Inter at home, it felt like Juventus might even have a smidgen of a title chance, or at least could have pushed Milan and Inter for whoever for the second spot. After that loss, they kind of slightly fell out of gear, but still the run they've been on since the beginning of the season has been pretty good overall. And with the exception of the first three or four games that, as we mentioned at the time, they were bottom or towards bottom, and these last few games they've won a lot of games. It's not been great, but I think Allegri probably enjoys the winning ugly more than the winning pretty.
Yeah, I think famously so. Right, we'll get on to speak about Roma shortly, because they obviously are the last Italian team standing in Europe. But before we do that, I mean, all sorts of drama at the bottom of the league as well. Genoa getting that last minute or the 89th minute winner against Cagliari, I believe it was. Salernitana, who we had all, well, I certainly had, but I think we had collectively written off, getting a really impressive and unlikely win against Fiorentina. And that's three wins in a row. And they're now only 3 points off Cagliari, who must surely be looking over their shoulders nervously. Venezia, on the other hand, in a really, really tough place. They've now gone 8 games, or I should say they've had 8 Serie A losses in a row. Boaz, do we agree Venezia are pretty much doomed, or are we doing the reverse Scudetto curse here that we kind of did on Salernitana?
It slightly pains me to say it, because Venezia is quite a nice experience away, and also the club seems to be run quite a decent fashion. But as you mentioned, the results on the pitch just have not been up to scratch, and I feel that where they are at now, it's going to be quite hard to pull themselves out of it. But that being said, we did kind of pronounce Salernitana dead all the way back in October, November, and with these 3 matches, 1 in a row, there's a breath of hope in their lungs. So who knows? It's definitely very exciting at the bottom. Probably not for the right reasons, because some of these teams have put in some horrible runs throughout the season. But now, when it's crunch time, they seem to be pulling out some unexpected results. And I'm definitely following the bottom of the table more than I'm following a lot of other mid-table sides right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly would be really, really sad to lose Venezia to Serie A, because, yeah, like you said, they've been a breath of fresh air. Seeing all of the videos of the ultras and the like, you know, on the boats on the way to the games, all of their, I mean, just their kits, everything they do on social media, they're just like, they're a really likable club, I think. But I mean, out of the other three, I guess you'd say Cagliari are in trouble. They had seemed safe, really, but Cagliari, Salernitana, Genoa, if you had to pick one, who do you fancy out of those three to stay up?
So if you had asked me this question a few weeks ago, I would have probably bet my mortgage on Cagliari, which is a bit of a bizarre statement.
Do you not have a mortgage?
I don't have a mortgage, crucially, but also, I mean, Cagliari haven't been so hot this season. But I'm starting to believe Salernitana could just surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly looking like it. It was 3 wins in a row. And I think there's a lot of direct matches between the bottom clubs as well. So it's going to be really, really, I'm not sure if it's exciting if you're a fan of one of those clubs, but as a neutral, certainly very, very exciting.
There was a lot of criticism of the fixture computer, because obviously there's been a severe lack of matches between the top 6 teams since February, but it looks like the machine decided to pit all these clubs at the bottom against one another, which is always fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. High stakes games. Right, okay, so let's speak about Leicester Roma. We can't spend too long on it, obviously, because there's been so much to get through. But like I said, the last Italian team in Europe in the Conference League semi-final, with that that game against Leicester coming up on Thursday. I have to admit, I quietly fancy Roma for this one, Boaz. What do you reckon?
Well, considering they managed to beat some Norwegian part-timers at the fourth time of asking, I think the Roma season has kind of geared itself towards this competition. And although, as you mentioned earlier, they had been on an incredible run in Serie A, not always winning with merit, but kind of showing grit at the very least and showing some character. But I feel that their game has improved throughout the season, and particularly in this competition, they've grown. Obviously, I mentioned Bodø/Glimt earlier. They did somehow manage to lose 6-1 away, and famously Mourinho threw half his squad under the bus, and some of those players are not even at the club anymore. So it's going to be interesting. Leicester are obviously not going to be an easy opposition, and they have a pedigree, and they've also gotten to a semi-final of European competition, albeit this European competition. So I think it'll be an interesting game, and obviously the Roma fans are right behind it because the tickets sold out within less than 24 hours.
Yeah, an impressive impressive response there. We don't really have a best of the rest this week just because we had so much to get through. But I do very, very quickly just want to speak about Serie B because Lecce appear to be on the verge of securing their return to Serie A. They're 2 points ahead of Cremonese and 4 ahead of Monza. But obviously playoffs and all sorts to come in Serie B as well. But let's move on.
You should also mention that Bari were promoted to
we should to yes boys.
Serie B, because that's another quote unquote classic Serie A side from the late 80s, 90s, and also they play in that horrible white elephant of a stadium, which is the Renzo Piano design stadium, which is very nice architecturally but really has nothing to do with the game of football.
Yeah, well, apparently there are all sorts of compromises that had to be made because they got funding from the Italian Olympic Committee or something. So that's why they ended up with a running track around it. And I don't know.
Yeah, apparently there's, because of the way the stadium is built, and I'm not very good for this format, but I'm actually seeing a picture of it in front of me right now. But
right.
Because of the way it's built, there's wind gusts that go right through the stadium and the ball flies all weird, and it's really cold in the winter and too hot in the summer. So generally,
can they do it on a cold, windy night in Bari?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. On that note, Boaz, let's go to good week, bad week. I think we've covered all of the teams in this section. So good week. I think our nominees are, two of them are right down in the relegation dogfight. Genoa with that last-minute winner. Salernitana for beating Fiorentina and going three games. Three wins on the trot. Empoli, I think we have to throw in the hat as well for that comeback win against Napoli. Who would you nominate as your pick for good week?
I have to say I'm slightly disappointed that Genoa didn't continue to draw every single game throughout the whole season, but instead have decided to outrageously win and lose games. But that being said, it was a great result for them. But I do think that having mentioned them quite a lot earlier on, I think Salernitana have been a breath of fresh air, and I was quite cynical of their chances. And if you remember, they drew with Milan at San Siro quite a few months ago, and I thought that was a shocking result. But all things being said, maybe it wasn't so shocking after all. And we didn't mention earlier, but Davide Nicola said that should they win promotion, should they not get relegated, he's going to go by foot to visit the Pope, and he's got priors for this. So I hope for his good that they do not get they don't get relegated, but at the same time that he's fresh for this crazy walk he's planning.
Yeah. Okay. So good week, Salernitana. I'd back that up. Bad week. I mean, there's only two sides it could be: Venezia, eighth league defeat in a row, or Napoli throwing away a 2-0 lead with 10 minutes to go against Empoli, who hadn't won since God knows when. Who should I nominate this one first? I'm going to say just for the fact. No, I'm going to say Napoli. I was going to say just for the fact that the teams around them all won and that Venezia finally look like they're confined to Serie B, Venezia. But let's leave that. Hopefully, for Venezia's sake, we won't be giving them bad week when that becomes formal. but I'm going to go for Napoli this week.
I'm going to have to back you up because I think it's almost a vote for the past month or so, but specifically for this game, they kind of lost their heads, and to lose 3-2 after leading 2-0 at home is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think also the merit disaster for the equalizer as well was
he's not playing on merit.
No, not off the back of that anyway. Right, Boaz, here comes your theme music, also known as the Italian National Anthem, for Keeping Up with the Italians.
Let's be honest, there's been a lot of information and a lot of goals in a lot of big leagues and pointless leagues since we've been last recording, so I'm not going to go into all of them. I've cherry-picked two for you, Kenny. One is Sharon Doerr, who we mentioned earlier in the season, who completed what was an extraordinary season for him by lifting the UEFA Youth League trophy and also scoring in the 6-0 victory for Sporting Lisbon in the final.
Or Sporting Club de Portugal.
Sport Lisboa e Benfica.
Oh, right, okay. And
and next I have Andrea Compagno, who's quietly reached 50 appearances for Football Club Università 1948 over in Romania and also scored a goal to reach double figures. So you've got Italians doing it in less fancied leagues, which is always nice to see.
Italians do it better in less fancied leagues. Right. Okay. Thank you very much for that, Boaz. Very brief, but very nicely picked.
I'll be back next time with nonsense goals from far-flung countries.
Well, we look forward to your regular weekly updates on the Turkish league. Right, let's move on to our honourable and dishonourable mentions. Boaz, let's start off on a serious note with an honourable mention for Sinisa Mihailovic.
Yeah, we have to give an honourable to Sinisa, who was announced recently that his leukemia had returned, and obviously he's kind of taken a leave of absence from managing Bologna and is looking after himself. Obviously, he has access to the world's best doctors, so we can stay positive, but it's a horrible disease, and there's not too many words you can say. It just sucks that it's come back.
Yeah, and wish him all the very best.
And his family, yeah.
Yeah, and his family as well. Right, I'm going to move on to... it feels wrong to have a dishonorable, but this is the way I've noted it down after that. But I'm going to give a dishonorable to Warner Brothers for suing Parma. I know that you were saying to me that you think that this should possibly be dishonorable for Parma, but essentially this is because Parma put Buffon in his famed Superman t-shirt for his unveiling in the summer. And obviously they hadn't received the rights to use the logo. So, I mean, it's a pitiful amount by football club standards. I think €15,000 or something that they were fined. But still, it kind of feels like, I don't know. Did they have to?
I mean, I think the video in question has the Superman logo front and center, and and it's a pretty strong element of it. So from my point of view, maybe they could have just called someone at Warner and said, look, we've got this legendary player we're signing. Can we please use your logo? And I'm sure they would have been quite cool with it.
Yeah, probably for the cost of about €15,000. Right, Boaz, an honorable mention for Marco Verratti.
I did mention earlier that PSG have won their 10th league title, but what is particularly special for a podcast focusing on Italian football is that Marco Verratti has become the player who has won most Ligue 1s in the history with his 8th victory. And considering this is a player who's never graced Serie A, it's a shame for me personally, but such a great player.
Yeah, a hugely underrated player still.
And we've kind of managed to completely not mention the Macedonia result, fortunately, because
until now
I still have nightmares about that tonight. But if anyone has to be saved or from that match, it's Verratti, who still did perform like a Champions League player.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do my goals honorable this week. It's going to go to Brozovic for his second goal in Inter's 3-1 demolition of Roma. Maybe demolition is a bit harsh, but just really beautiful, fluid move, lovely lofted through ball, and loads still to do for Brozovic to kind of fashion the opportunity. But great footwork and then fired it into the top corner. Lovely stuff. Great goal. That's getting my goals honorable this week. Boaz, you've got an honorable mention for Giorgio Chiellini.
Giorgio Chiellini announced that he's retiring from Italy following the match against Argentina, this bizarre friendly that's being played. I don't need to say it, but he was front and center in the Euro victory. And despite his tenure with the Azzurri not really matching any great performances in the World Cup or indeed the Euro besides last year, you have to say that he was always a warrior and someone that opposing teams kind of feared but also respected. And he's kind of one of the last remaining classic Italian defenders, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give an honorable mention to Carlo Ancelotti for becoming the first coach in history to reach the Champions League semi-final stage in four different decades, which is pretty mind-blowing if you ask me. There might be another honorable mention coming up for Carlo Ancelotti because he's also 1 point away from winning La Liga, which would make him the first manager to ever win all top five European leagues. But we're not going to give him an honourable for that just yet because we don't want to jinx it. Boaz, did you have anything to add on Ancelotti?
Or, just needs 1 point. I think it's yeah, pretty much guaranteed, but we'll see.
You'd like to think so. Boaz, honourable for Serie A Femminile.
Yeah, it was announced just quite recently that Serie A Femminile is going to go fully professional from the 1st of June. And this is the first women's league in Italy women's sport league in Italy to do this. And I think it's a great sign. And we've mentioned in the past that the some of the clubs in Italy are really starting to invest in women's football. And you can see it in Milan and Juventus who had a pretty good showing in the Champions League. And these teams are also getting much more focus on them from the club's social media channels. And I think it's great to see. It's great for future generations.
Yeah, long may it continue. Right, my final mention is going to be a dishonorable for Claudio Lotito. Surprise, surprise. After Lazio Ultras left the Milan game in protest, he said something along the lines of, if they don't come to the stadium, where else are they going to find to get into fights? Which doesn't seem like the best PR move. So yes, yet another dishonorable mention for Claudio Lotito from me. Boaz, you have got a dishonorable, and I can't believe you're going to do this, but you've got a dishonorable mention for Gigi Buffon. Why do you have to do it?
This feels like an episode of kind of deja vus, because we mention someone, give him kind of a little bit of praise, and then we take it all back a few yeah, minutes later. But Buffon, Superman, as we mentioned earlier, was guilty of took his eyes off the ball, and a ball slipped under his foot, and it was quite an easy goal for the opposing striker. And I hate to say this, but maybe his age is slightly starting to catch up with him, because the slip of mind is fine, but then the pace he didn't yes, show in trying to catch up was yes, a little bit tragic. And maybe that was the reason why Warner Brothers are suing them, because because he really was not Superman in that case.
No, fair enough. Okay, and that is all we've actually got time for this week. So, as ever, I want to thank all of the listeners. Thank you, Boaz, to you as well.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, it is. It is good to be back. Please do remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, enjoy the football. La Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001. Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto per la squadra nerazzurra. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment.
Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare insurance plans at uh1.com.